morning I want to talk to you about dreamers and doers. We had one of our friends, Andy Goulet, with us a few weeks back, and he talked about if you want to win a region or if you want to win a people group, you serve that people group. But it takes people who begin to dream the dream of God. And I want to encourage us, because it's so easy to fall into the habit of our culture to live small-mindedly in a way that is white picket fence, normal culture for a Western Christian in Australia. And so what does it look like when Jesus encounters a person? What does it look like and how do they begin to live that is different to the culture that is at large in here? Because kingdom culture is at odds with the culture of the world. In fact, Paul actually taught us that we needed to be renewed in our minds to be able to live the gospel and the kingdom culture today. That means we need a change of mind. We need a change of thinking. And that starts in our hearts and in our heads as we read the scriptures and see the way of Jesus actually shifts the way we live our lives today. Why don't we close our eyes and let's pray. So Lord Jesus, I want to welcome you. I welcome you through the power of your word to come and convict and lead our hearts. I want to thank you that you are the good shepherd and you are leading your church. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and nurture and to counsel our hearts that we would become the church as glorious as you see the church to be, living from heaven to earth, living with passion and living with a fire that's deep inside of us, Lord. We love you, Jesus. And we give you our adoration, our affection here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Dreamers and doers, we are those who are living from the unseen to the seen. You think about some of the greatest musicians and composers of time. I think of people like Beethoven and Tchaikovsky and some of the early composers who wrote music without actually having a recording program. Like these days, you have recording programs, you can press play, and you can play back everything you've recorded. But in that time, he had to hear it in his imagination. When he wrote it on paper, he had to hear it in his mind's eye, in his imagination, before someone sat on a piano to actually write it. When I think about a sculptor, they have to look at a rock and slowly from that big chunk of rock, chip away little pieces to communicate something that they see in their imagination. When I think about a good barber or a hairdresser, they look at a mop of hair and they think, what could I create that would be beautiful with that head of hair? What about painters? They take a few mediums and a piece of canvas and they turn it into a compelling work that you can stare at and moved emotionally by. There's something about the imagination that actually draws that which is unseen into the seen realm. And this is so much of what the gospel actually represents, is we learn how to take that which is unseen and bring it into the seen. We are those who are living from heaven to earth. You know, I get this wrong sometimes because sometimes I live from earth to heaven where I'm thinking more about my problems. I'm thinking more about my anxieties or my issues in my life. And I live from earth to heaven where I'm trying to get heaven to bless and intervene in my life because I'm living from that way up rather than living from heavenly places and a heavenly perspective into the earth that I live in right now. And so that means I need God's perspective. I need to live from a place of imagination and from a place of a superior kingdom. I need an ascended view. We're living from heaven to earth. So my question for us today is, what do you see? What do you see? What stirs inside of your spirit? What has God created you to be play? What part has he created you to play in the story of the redemption of every tribe and tongue and nation and people in this world? What part are you? What do you see? What is heaven's perspective for your future? What are the things that he's sowing as seeds of possibility into your imagination, into your spirit, of the type of life that you will live? Do you remember those first few years out of high school when it just felt like everything and anything could happen with your life? I want to encourage some middle-aged and older people in the room, of whom I'm in the camp now, that actually God is still after your heart and your imagination, and he has wonderful, wonderful things for your future. Imagine if we could all live in that space, like in the first few years out of high school, where anything could happen, where any possibility was actually at large with our lives. Because God has a good plan and a good future for each of us. Bill Johnson says it like this: if you live cautiously, your friends will call you wise. You just won't move any mountains. We should get that one up there, because I reckon you should take a screenshot of that and just put that on your background for a little while. If you live cautiously, your friends will call you wise. You just won't move any mountains. So I'm speaking to a church of dreamers today. I'm speaking to a church who actually see themselves as part of the redemption of the nations. I see myself preaching to a church who are part of a cause that's greater than just Redcliffe. We're part of a cause that is beyond generations. We are part of a cause that's eternal. We are part of a cause that's bigger than just a suburb or a region. It's international, intergalactic. It's for all time and for every tribe and tongue and nation. So what mountain are you going to move? How are you going to live from the place of possibility and dream and potential that when you were in your mother's womb, he wove you together with intention and purpose to say, come on, Heath, come on, let's shape the sound of heaven in your home. Come on, let's through our lives, each one of us, we can actually bring heaven to earth through the sound of our lives. So what mountain will you move? Mark 11 says, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. It will be done for him. Are we living courageously? Are we living with faith that we know that the God of heaven and earth is for us? And if God is for us, nothing can stand against us. You know, I see people getting renewed with a greater sense of vision for the next 20 years of their life. I see people starting to get a reset around a kingdom vision where maybe we've got caught up in the rat race or the grind, and God's saying, I've got something for you. And it's bigger than a caravan and a few caravan parks, which, let's be honest, caravan parks get old after a while, right? I love traveling. I love seeing the world. But I want to say there's a bigger cause than pleasure in this world. Actually, when you go to see poverty in a third world country, you realize pleasure is so indulgent. And I'm not saying that as a person that lives in a comfortable house and I go on holidays. But I'm challenged to the core of how I'm living, not just for my cause, but for the sake of the kingdom's cause in the earth. So what mountain will you move? Which mountain will you speak to? And say, mountain of education that dishonors the credibility of Christ, I speak to you, mountain, you're going to be cast in the sea, because I'm coming to you, school, with the life of Jesus and the blood of Jesus around my life. And I'm going to bring redemption every time I walk through those school gates. And into my workplace, I see the mountain of work, and I say, I'm going to bring the life of Christ into that workplace. Lance Warnow describes seven mountains of society. You know, we've got them up there. The arts, government, education, economy and business, religion, the church, media and family. And of course, within those subgroups are all types of different others. But what is your mountain? How is God calling you to make a difference? There's so many people in the Bible who say, why me, God? Why are you choosing me? I'm just the bloke on the black backside of a hill somewhere. And you're choosing me to influence the course of nations. I actually want to encourage some people today. You might think you're small. You might think that your life is inconsequential in the realms of billions of people. But I want to say the Lord has called you and he's chosen you and he's marked your life. If you don't play your part, there's a massive gap in the course of human history. I say that as an encouraging father, not as a condemning voice, if that makes sense. Play your part. Let's go. If there's one thing I wanted to explore today, it is that we were made to conquer the impossible, that we were made to take mountains. We were made to lead the change that the world needs. We were made for it. Not only that, Jesus said, all the power and all authority have I given to you. Everything of heaven, Jesus himself lives inside. His spirit, the fullness of Christ bodily in us. Church, do we realize who we are? And how much more when we meet together and we become not just solo in our mission, but we could become a people, a movement of hope in the nations, a movement of life to the streets, a movement of life everywhere we go. We're going to change this city through the power and the story and the life of Jesus. Bill Johnson says, transform people, transform cities. It starts here, church. It starts right here. Our compassion and our adoration and our love and our devotion to Jesus Christ is something that transforms the internal world of our makeup and our being and our way in the world. And it's only when we go face to face with the Lord that we become the type of people that when we stand in the midst of turmoil and pressure and pain that we see in society, we have something to offer. Transform people. Transform the world. Transform society. And so where do we start? We start with a view of Jesus that's beautiful. We start with eyes fixed, just like Jesus fixed his eyes on the Father. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And so we endure and we take steps forward with our eyes fixed on Christ. And we say, God, transform me. Transform me in my selfishness. Transform me in the way of generosity. Transform me in the way of kindness in my family. Transform me as a dad, that you would make me a better dad. Transform me in the inner part. And as I sit before the Lord face to face, heart to heart with him, I become a man who carries the dwelling place of God. And then I have something to bring to a world who is hungry and thirsty for the living God. It starts with a face-to-face encounter with the living God. It's not just a one-time act. It's a daily activity of pursuing the face of God and the way that it transforms us. So church, I want to encourage us to fan the flame, the gift of God that is on each of our lives. Let's read the scripture together, 2 Timothy 1. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So in this passage, we need this flame to be alive. Does anyone need that flame to be alive? That stirring to be alive in our hearts? Amen. It takes God to love God. We actually need his fire in our lives. We actually need the motivation and the stirring in our spirits. And so it's okay to pray a simple prayer. Say, God, set my heart on fire. God, burn me up again. Bring passion again in my heart where I've grown cold. Lord, awaken me. Church, Lord, awaken me. waken my soul. Fan the flame, Lord. How do we keep the fire going? Are there any survivalists, any mad keen survivalists in the room? I know, Heath, you're a hunter, so you probably do some of that. Is anyone able to make a fire? I don't know, Dougie, you could probably make a fire with like a match, without a match, is there anything, couldn't you? Just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I've seen you drive your four-wheel drive. So what are the three elements that help a fire grow? Heat? Fuel? Oxygen, you got it. I just said them slightly different. So ignition, which is heat, fuel, and oxygen. And we're just going to take a few moments. How do we keep this fire raging? First thing is ignition. Has the flame been extinguished? Fires are ignited by our proximity to the source. So I want to encourage us. Draw near to God, the Bible says, and He will draw near to you. Our proximity to the source will ignite our hearts again. Does anyone need a fresh ignition? It's okay to say yes. I need it. We need an ignition of the life of God in us. Draw near to God. The second thing, fuel, it takes to have a great fire. What adds fuel to the fire? Well, I want to encourage us. Sometimes we just simply need to use the gifts we've already got. We need to be faithful with the word of God. Why is He going to speak to us prophetically if we aren't faithful with this? Let's be a church who are faithful to read the scriptures. Let's be a church who are faithful to pursue Him. Let me open my notes. I just lost it. Let's add the fuel. What else? I find I get so inspired seeing people who are also living out in their calling. Seeing someone who's doing something similar to what stirs in my heart. You know, for many years, it's been going to see a live musician play and sing, and I walk away just like feeling burning on the inside to write more music and to be better at my craft. It's something about seeing others who are alive in their thing that helps awaken it within us. So use the gift. Get activated. Start doing something. You'll find the fire of God will swell in your life all the more as you just start doing something. I hear so many people say, oh, the Lord's silent. He's not speaking to me about where I should serve or what I should do. I want to just encourage, just do something. You'll find as you use the gifts that are on your life, the more grace will come upon them and you'll start to thrive. You'll start to find a tangent and direction from the God who is your shepherd. The third thing is oxygen. What brings oxygen for your soul? Well, Jesus, clearly one of the things that Jesus did is He breathed on the disciples and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. And we need the breath of God. We need the oxygen that God brings through His script, through the scriptures, but also through the pneuma, which is the word breath, which is the word spirit in the New Testament. We need the Spirit of God to burn in us, to breathe into us with a breath of life. What happens? There's a sound that goes along with a fire. Am I right? When you start to blow on a fire, sorry for giving you a bit of a fright there. There is as you blow on a flame, what happens? It starts to come alive. When we draw near to Jesus, He blows on the coals of our hearts freshly. And there's a sound that goes along with that. It's a sound, it's a vibrant sound. The Bible says all scripture is God breathed. When we dive into scripture, we become a people who have oxygen in our lungs. Third time we see it in scripture is the Father reached down into the dust and He breathed into dust and life came from the dust. Life came from nothing. It came into nothingness from His breath. We need the Father's breath, His oxygen in our lungs. Scriptures say, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. Everyone say gift of God. Whose gift is it? It's God's. Why did He give it? Because He's got a plan. It's not you do you. It's Let's do him. Let's do his way. Let's follow his cause. Yes, you're an important part of it, but you're not the centerpiece of the story. Jesus is. And so where my will becomes, oh, but I want this with my life, I actually take this of my life and I say, Jesus, this is yours. Everything I am, my passion for music, my passion for people, my love for the church, I give it to you, God. Take it, not my will, but yours be done. And what I hear in the life of this church is a people who are being moved with kingdom purpose freshly. A people who see the streets of our city and actually want to repaint the streets and see the streets repainted with hope. Whose gift is it anyway? It's not for personal achievement or public recognition. Our gifts were born to play part of God's story. The passage continues, it says, fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. I want to encourage you, church, don't neglect being together. Something happens when we get hands on each other and we bless each other and we ignite the gift of God on each other's lives by holding our hands on each other. Amen? There's an impartation that happens when you're part of God's family. There's a spiritual impartation, and there's also a communal grace. The gift of God is both his gift for our city and for our time, but it's also his gift for the sake of communal grace. We are a sound of a church together. And the last thing in this passage, it's the game changer. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. God gave us. How are we going to succeed? Is God gave us his spirit. God gave us his power. This word power is dunamis. Everyone say dunamis. It's explosive power, the scriptures say. We expect an ongoing increase of our capacity because he is enabling us by the power of his spirit. We're going from strength to strength and glory to glory because we have the spirit of the living God with us. This is what the word dunamis means. It means inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue and in its nature. It's in you because he's in you. His power at work in us, performing miracles. It's moral power, excellence of soul. It's the power of influence, which belongs to riches and wealth. Power of resources arising from numbers. Power consisting in or resisting upon enemy armies, forces, and hosts. His power is in us. His power is with us. He has given us a spirit of power, of love, which is his unconditional love. He's given us his love, so we're going to increase in love. We're going to become so much more compassionate than all of our colleagues because we have the living God of love who resides on the inside. Amen. And thirdly, he has given us a spirit of self-control and a sound mind. So I want to encourage us, church, expect a mind that is being tempered by the Spirit of God. He is enabling you to think and respond with the mind of Christ. You are set for increase and upgrade every day of your life because you have the living God on the inside constantly swelling and stirring you to more of God. Amen. I'm going to finish there. Why don't we stand together? Maybe we could sing the bridge of I Speak Jesus. It'd be awesome. Just in this space, why don't you hold out your hands wide and close your eyes? And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, I ask for the breath of God, which I just spoke about, which your word speaks of. The same breath you breathed on the disciples and they received Holy Spirit. I ask that your breath would just begin to blow on the coals of every heart. Lord, I ask for a fanning of the flame of the gift of God in every person's life, because your gospel comes not just through someone preaching on a platform, but through every person who make up your body, which is all of us, Lord. So I speak blessing over your church today. I speak encouragement over your church. Lord, that we would become the church that carries your living flame. And so, Lord, for those who need that fresh ignition today, Lord, I pray that you would come with your flame and burn on the inside of their hearts freshly, that you would stir on the inside of their spirits freshly, that they would see you, Lord, they would know you. And Jesus, I pray that we would become a people that shouts your name at the roof, from the rooftops of our city, shouts your name of hope and healing and restoration for this city, for our families, and for every circumstance that seems impossible. We speak the name of Jesus.
Jesus from the mountains.
We declare your name. We honor you, Jesus.
In the darkness over every
end. Come on, church, let's raise our voices.
Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus from the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
We just speak your name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus down the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy day, Jesus.
So church, let's fan the flame, the gift of God on our lives this week. Let's walk with passion. Let's walk with the courage of the Spirit, knowing that if God is for us, nothing can stand against us. Amen.
Well, church, I'd love to not just end this service straight away, but offer an opportunity before we leave. I just love the message that Jared shared, in that we all have mountains that we've actually been called to move. Do you know that Jesus, the Lord God, plucked you out of all of eternity, made you be born wherever you were born, has put you in Redcliffe in this service this morning because he has a call for your life, because he knew you before you were born and he had a plan for you for his good works. And so I want to offer an opportunity this morning. Maybe that's news to you. Maybe you've never heard a message like this before. Maybe you don't know Jesus and you've never followed him before. Or maybe you've actually been coming to church for a while and you kind of know, but you know you need to take that next step and say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow the call that he has for my life. And so just this morning, with everyone's eyes closed across this room, there might be one or two hosts just looking out, because we'd love to be able to pray for you after the service. But if that's you this morning and that message really spoke to you and sparked something in you, and you want to choose today to follow Jesus and to follow the plans that he has for your life, because he loves you, he has more for you, you were born for so much more than you could ever imagine. And if that's you this morning and you want to say, today, I choose to follow Jesus. I want to walk in relationship with Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the plans He has for my life. Would you just lift up your hand, shoot it up, and I'll just look across this room. I'm looking right now, all across the room, from the left to the right, looking for hands to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus and the call He has for my life. Incredible. Lord God, we just thank You this morning for who You are. We thank You, Lord, that You have a call for every person here, that You know us truly and intimately. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, for where You have placed us in eternity, where You have placed us in society for such a time as this, Lord. Lord, would You fan the flame in us? Would You breathe life into us once again? Renew our passion for Your cause. Lord, let us see vision clearly for what it is You want us to do in the places that You've put us in society, Lord. Lord, renew our passion for Your cause. Lord, give us opportunities as we go about our week, Lord, to speak into other people's lives. Give us opportunities for divine conversations and divine meetings, Lord, that only You could have orchestrated, that we would walk away from conversations going, whoa, that was a God moment. Lord, would You speak through us? Holy Spirit, would You guide our steps as we go about our week? Lord, we follow You and we seek You in everything we do. We love You and we honor You. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Incredible.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're so glad that you are with us today. If you want support for prayer, or maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus, make sure you click the link below and make it a personal connection. Thanks for being with us. We can't wait to see you next time. We'll be right back.